So be careful how you live. Not as fools, but as those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. Now, are we living in evil days? Boy, are we ever living in evil days. I mean, it's awful what is happening in America in these evil days. So he tells you and me, make the most of every opportunity to do good. Now, you can tell people about Jesus. You can do what Dave did the other day when that boy had that wreck on that motorcycle. Dave was driving down the road, and a boy had a wreck on a motorcycle, and it tore him up pretty good. And Dave runs over there and tells him, said, I'm going to pray for you. And the guy says, no, I'm a Muslim. I don't want you to pray for me. Oh, Dave says, but I got a captive audience. I'm going to pray for you anyway. What was Dave doing? He was making the most of every opportunity to do good for that young man in these days of evil. That young man didn't want a Christian to pray for him. But let me ask you this question. When's the last time you saw somebody pray in the name of Allah and get God to do a miracle? You won't ever see it. It won't happen. Allah is not God. He's the devil. You know, he's the devil. I mean, you got to be aware of the fact that too many people in the church today, like that professor, and we had that newspaper article the other day when we was out of town, somebody gave me in Georgia, give me a newspaper article on the front page, a professor of theology that graduated from a seminary and was a professor up there, had a new revelation that the Muslim God and the Christian God is the same God. That's exactly right. That was definitely the devil's revelation. Never let it be said in this man's life that the God a Muslim serves and the God that I serve is not the same God. The God I serve is a God of love. The God I serve is a God that loves life and loves for you to be honest and faithful and love your brethren and do good things for others. The God of the Quran, Allah, He says, kill Christians and Jews. And do you know that whenever the Muslims get to be 100% Muslim nation, like Saudi Arabia and Iran and all those places over there, which are 100% Muslim, do you know that they're still taught from day one, it's brother against brother. It's brother against father. It's a constant fighting all the time. That's the way they're taught. How would you like? And women are nothing. Your mother does something you don't like, and you have the right as her son to slap her and beat her as your own mother. How would you like to serve a God that taught those kind of principles? As a Christian, the Christians don't know the Muslims. We know our God, and we do not know or understand the Islamic God. We don't read their book, so we don't know how mean and ruthless these people are. That's why you can take a man like Obama that is a Muslim. People say, he's not a Muslim. I guarantee he's a Muslim. But it doesn't seem to make any difference up there in Washington whether it's Muslims or Christians. It don't make any difference. Clinton, he said he was a Christian too. But if he spoke to the church, he said exactly what they wanted to hear. He spoke to a homosexual group, he said exactly what they wanted to hear. So what'd that tell us about him? He ain't no better than a Muslim. He's a liar and a pervert too. Isn't that something? That's amazing what we've got up there. None of these men know God. They say they do, but they ain't none of them living what this book says. Not one single one of them. I mean, when the Lord says in here, you are to have nothing to do with evil. Nothing. And did you know, I think 100%, there may have been one president of all the presidents, but I ain't sure about that even. Every president I know about has either been a member of the Skull and Bones organization or been a member of the Masonic Lodge. Every one of these are darkness organizations controlled by the devil. And all of them are members of these things. but make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. Well, we can tell them and do what we can, but we don't have to get involved in their sin, do we?
Amen.
Absolutely not. Okay, the next two verses. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. I know what He wants you to do. He wants you to love people and tell them the truth.
Yes,
but He don't want you to have nothing to do with their sin.
All right.
Because He tells you, don't be drunk with them.
Right.
Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life.
Right.
Now, why in the world would anybody get drunk with wine if God said it'll ruin your life? That's just like, I cannot fathom this. I cannot fathom this beyond me. And some of you may do this. I can't imagine anybody going down and paying $3 to $5 for a little package of round sticks that says on the outside of the package, these will cause cancer in your life. And you're going to pay to smoke that? Now, I may be a little dense. I may have grumbled and complained and got gasoline in my eye. But at least I wasn't smoking a cigarette when I got gasoline in my eye, which would have lit me off. That's all I would have needed was a cigarette in my mouth, and then me and the whole shop would have burned up. I ain't quite that dumb yet. Thank God I ain't quite that dumb. He said, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Oh, the Holy Spirit. We need to let Him fill us and control us. Now then, if I had to let Him control me 100%, the minute I opened my mouth to grumble about that engineering design that I didn't like, I heard that little something up there. Jackie, have you ever heard that little voice? Oh, too many times. Isn't that amazing how dense us guys can be? Huh? It's so terrible. But I heard that little voice. The minute I started to talk, I knew something up there said, don't do that. I know some of y'all done the same thing.
Amen.
Just like when I asked Jack there, he said, too many times I've done that. Well, let me tell you, I've done it too many times too. And I'm hoping that was my last. I didn't like that one. This one, he really got my attention. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. How do we let Him fill and control us? You ask Him, Lord, come into my life. I ask You to fill me to overflowing. Lord, I'm on my knees humbling myself before You. Fill me with the mighty Holy Spirit of the living God. And do you know that at the day of Pentecost, they all got filled? And I mean, they went out and done great things. I mean, they spoke in tongues. They done all kinds of things. And then a few days later, just a few days later, all that power is gone. And they're up in that room praying, God, fill us with the Holy Spirit. And after 10 days of praying, the Holy Spirit refilled them.
Amen.
And the place got shaken again, and they went out and did great and mighty things in the name of Jesus. Now, maybe that's what's wrong with us. Maybe we don't spend enough time seeking God.
Amen.
I mean, maybe we just don't do that enough. I mean, I know He wants us to thank Him and praise Him and worship Him, but I'm getting where I spend more and more time praising Him for filling me and controlling me with the Holy Spirit. I want to be controlled and filled with the Holy Spirit. Because without Him, what can I do? That's absolutely right. Nothing. I can't do nothing without Him. In my own power, I can't do anything. Verse 19 and 20. Then, after you're filled with the Holy Ghost, then you will sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your heart. Now see, that's what He wants you to do right there. He wants you to sing songs. You know, I can really, last night I come in here while Cheryl was singing her last song, and when she got through, I'm sitting out here in front like this, you know, and she's up here and I'm doing this, you know, and she's singing that song, and right at the end of that last song, man, she hit that last note and she went through the roof, and the roof vibrated on this place. And when she got through, she said, wow, I didn't even know I could do that. I said, praise the Lord. It was great, girl. It was great. What was it in her that did that? The Holy Spirit. Yeah. She was singing with her heart unto the Lord. That wasn't for me or nobody else. It was the Lord. And man, He let her hit a note beyond her wildest dreams. And he says in verse 20, and you will always give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're not giving Him thanks and praise and singing songs, maybe we don't have enough of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we need to say, Lord, maybe we need to get up in the morning and ask Him to fill us with the Holy Spirit. And then maybe about midday, about 9 o'clock in the morning, we ask Him to fill us again. And then about noon again. And about 3 again. You know, they used to have a sign out that said, 10, 2, and 4. You're supposed to drink a certain drink. Anybody know what that was? Yeah, I'm sure everybody remembers that advertisement. Have a doctor ever, 10, 2, and 4. I mean, they wanted you to buy them things. Well, maybe at 10, 2, and 4, we ask the Lord to fill us with the Holy Ghost. You know, somewhere in there, but you need to do that. And then he says, after you get the Holy Ghost, then you will sing songs, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and then you will always give thanks for everything to God. So it's obvious I needed Him, because I wasn't giving thanks out there when I was grumbling and complaining. You know, whenever I hollered, Dave, I got to have some water. Dave, it's amazing what Dave did. He goes to give me some water, but he said, you know, Pastor, you were grumbling and complaining. I thought, you know, I know God told me to be good, but if I didn't have this in my eye right now, I'd punch out my best friend. Have you ever wanted to punch out one of your good friends? Oh, my goodness gracious alive. Oh, I mean, but I didn't say a word to him. I said, oh, Lord, I sure do need that water. Well, he went to get the water, and he got the water, and I poured a whole gallon in my eye, too, I'll tell you for sure. Who do you think that was talking out of his mouth? The Holy Ghost saying, son, it didn't pay good dividends to grumble and complain. But did I want to hear it right then? No, I didn't want to hear it. I already knew I'd sinned. I didn't want nobody else to stick the sword in and turn it around and twist it a couple of times. But that's what God was doing. He said, I'm going to get your attention or else. Isn't it amazing how hard the learners we are, Keith? Unfortunately, we're human beings, aren't we?
Yes, man.
Unfortunately. Okay, now then, let's see here. Let's go from this about having to this living by the Spirit's power. Let's go to a Spirit-guided relationship now between the husband and the wife and the Holy Spirit.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with the teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.